Podcast Viewfinder.
Wilson! I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! I'm sorry! Wilson!
Okay.
I can't! Wilson! Wilson!
We're gonna get kicked out of our office. Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And this is Podcast Viewfinder, episode 23. Thank you for joining us. Oh, man. That opening quote was from...
Castaway.
Yeah. So, today, we're just...
This is a special day.
We're blowing the curtain off. Blowing the curtain off? Revealing behind the curtain? What's that phrase?
I don't know.
We're blowing the doors off. We're going to look behind the scenes of movies today.
Yeah.
And TV shows and products. Yeah. So particularly today, like, we're going to just look at product placement in movies in our life, why commercials are the way they are, that kind of stuff.
What we consume.
James, you have a good weekend? We had a longer weekend.
I did.
That's
why
we're a day behind.
I watched video games. Not video games. I watched TV and played video games.
You watched TV and played video games.
I know.
Speaking of watching video games, did you see Jimmy Kimmel's in trouble?
Yeah, I saw that he's in trouble.
Jimmy Kimmel.
He's like making fun of
people
who watch video games.
Yeah, you said you watch video games.
I was like, that's my brother. I don't do that yet.
So Jimmy Kimmel on his show, he's a late night talk show. It's not as good as Jimmy Fallon. But he said.
And we don't endorse him.
Oh, yeah, because he's stupid.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. No, he made fun of video games. No, he made fun of people that watch video games. He's like, hey, that sounds like a double waste of time because you're watching somebody else play video games. So,
well, if you don't have time to play video games, are you the effort? You know, it takes more brain power to actually play the video game.
Or to buy it.
I've had modes where I'm like, I don't really feel like playing video games, but I still feel like experiencing the video games.
Yeah.
So he does this thing.
Yeah. But then the people's response, I'm like, okay, this gave gamers a bad name. Because people, like, it's so ridiculous. Like, they're saying stuff about, like, I hope you get cancer. I hope you, like, get AIDS. Like, I hope you die. Like,
Gamergate.
Yeah. They're just like, all these video game people just come out and just say terrible stuff to him. And you're like, yeah, because that's going to make him change his opinion. Like, then there's people that, like, have legit responses. They're like, oh, okay, I understand that. Like, hey, if I need help with a level, if I want to see a game before I buy it, that kind of thing. He's like, I get that, but just like watching someone play a video game for a long period of time, he's like, why don't you just play it yourself? So,
because they're not as entertaining.
Yeah. People make commentary.
Yeah, they're like celebrities. You watch them. So.
Well, like with sports too, you're like, okay, I'm watching somebody else play a game. I'm not participating in it, so how is it different?
It's not. People are just a new form of entertainment. Yeah. We are all about entertaining ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, first up, we want to talk about you.
The listeners.
That's right. So just thank you so much for all that you do, all that you listen to.
Well,
spreading the word.
For leaving us a review. This is a review from Chicago Cubs MJS. He said, it was a 5-star review, so thank you for that.
Yes.
He said, this is some of the funniest stuff I've ever heard. No,
wow, that's really, he's setting the bar up high. Thank you so much.
They talk about stuff going on in the world and it isn't boring. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Thanks Chicago Cubs MJS. So
that's right.
So your reviews matter. So you can go to iTunes and leave us a review. Are we on Stitcher? I don't even know if we're on Stitcher.
What is Stitcher?
I don't know. That's like the Android people that don't have iPhones. You can listen to it. So, I don't know where else you can leave us reviews, but go find it on the internet. Find us a place to leave a review.
What about the Play Store, right?
I don't know.
Google Play?
Do they have... Are we on there?
I don't know.
I don't know how you
know.
I don't know.
I don't put this stuff up.
I just
say this. I figured nobody actually heard us. Just like...
I put stuff on the internet and it shows up in iTunes. So I don't know how it works.
Like, it's magical.
I had somebody call me this week and ask me how to like put a podcast on iTunes. Like, I don't know. Thanks to Jeff Heck, because he's our tech guy that like knows all that stuff. So
who's
thank
that
you.
Guy?
Thank
I've
you,
never
Jeff
met
Heck.
Him.
Okay,
just kidding.
So one of our listeners this week talked to me in person and was a little bit upset about last week's episode where we kind of made fun of Christian movies again.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Did we make fun of them? I don't know.
We said for a Christian movie.
Yeah,
which I guess that's making fun of.
Okay, so War Room came out and did really good at the box office, which, so we'll talk about box office stuff a little bit later in the show, but it did really good its first week. I mean, it came in second place.
Which it killed it.
Which is really good.
Actually, this weekend.
What?
It came in first.
No way!
Yeah.
Good job, War Room.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a market for it. And one of our ladies that works here in the office like came up and was like, hey, have you seen this movie yet? And I said, no. She's like, well, if you want to pray and read your Bible more, then you'll go see it. I'm like, okay.
But what if I don't?
If you love Jesus, you'll go watch this movie. I felt like it was one of those Facebook posts. It's like, well, like and share for love Jesus, ignore for you worship Satan. I'm like, I don't worship Satan, but I'm not going to like or share this because it's like an awful picture of white Jesus with a mullet.
I don't want to worship Satan.
I know. Like, I'm not ignoring it. I'm talking about
a hard place and a rock.
You mean a rock and a hard place?
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
A hard place and a rock?
You can't.
It's the same thing. I'm, it's just switched.
Yeah.
How's it any different? Explain to me.
So meatloaf and loaved meat is just
that's
switched.
That's different.
No, it's, I'm just switching the
no,
word.
No, that's a word and I used a phrase.
I'm not going to eat
there is a
loafed
difference
meat.
Between, yeah, because it sounds terrible now.
I know, but meatloaf, I'm like, yes, I want that.
Meatloaf? That doesn't sound any better. So, really.
Oh, between a hard place and a rock.
Yeah.
Nobody says that.
I just said.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm between a hard place and a rock right now. Why so wouldn't stupid. That be?
Oh, man.
You make
me
so
mad.
Dumb.
Oh, okay. So.
All right.
Anyways, so one of our office ladies said, go see War Room. It's great. She loved it. And so it got first place at the box office. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a place for it.
There
so
it is.
The guy that got on me was like, hey, Courageous was his favorite movie of all time. And he's like, how can you? He's like, the scene where, I was like, I haven't seen it. He goes, you made fun of it and you haven't seen it? Like, I didn't make fun
hey,
of it.
I liked it. I worked at the Vineyard and I saw it every day. Little clips.
Vineyard is a Christian bookstore, yeah.
Yeah, I'd walk around and they have it playing and every time I walk by, I'd get like... 2 minute segment.
So like,
I'd see pieces, and finally after 2 weeks, I saw the whole movie. It was great.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So, yeah, I am in agreement with that. They have great morals behind it. Like, there's good stuff, but the acting and sometimes the script and even the production values aren't as good as a blockbuster Hollywood movie.
They aren't.
But
I don't think they're trying to be.
Maybe they're not.
Maybe.
But they're reaching their audience that they're going for. And we talked about last week, too, who these movies are for. But then I saw a trailer this week, and this is why I want to bring it back up.
Uh-oh.
It was for Risen. This movie called Risen.
Yeah, right, Risen.
So it's got Draco Malfoy, so I'm glad to see that he's no longer doing evil magic, but he's a...
And it's got the other guy.
He's a Roman soldier. And it's got...
Oh, he's the Roman soldier? Draco is?
Draco's... Or he's... I don't know what he does. Maybe he's a...
I thought it was Voldemort. I mean,
it's
he
not
should not be named.
It's his brother. It's Voldemort's brother, isn't it?
Draco Malfoy's his
not Draco
brother?
Malfoy. The
so
guy
he's related to
no the
he
act,
who should not be named.
The actor that plays Voldemort, his...
You keep saying his name. Do you
sorry,
realize
the actor,
how many fans are mad at you? And you're okay with this, dude.
I am, because you give him power by not saying his name.
okay.
Gosh, we're going to get reamed. Okay, so no, but he says... It's his brother in real life. Like the guy, the actor that played Voldemort, the actor's brother is the one playing. He's a Roman soldier. Who cares? It basically takes place right after Jesus dies. So it ends with Jesus' death.
Yeah.
And then it's about kind of that 3 day period in between. And then Jesus comes back to life.
And his body disappears.
Yeah. And it was interesting because from this trailer, I'd never thought about this aspect of
what, how the Romans reacted?
Yeah. So the Roman soldiers are like, okay, we've got to find his body. And then the Jewish people are like, yeah, because all people are already saying he's risen from the dead. And we can't have this. We can't have this political unrest. And so
yeah,
it's like,
going to cause well, and then they set it up. They say, you have to show these people that he's not rising. Otherwise, you will have a big problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So then it's just about their, like, trying to find Jesus' body. And then at the end, and this was a quote, I actually put this on my Facebook page. At the end, the... Not Voldemort guy said, not he should not be named, whatever. He says, somebody says, what are you afraid of or what do you fear? And he says, I'm afraid I'm wrong and staking all eternity on it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a great. So I don't know what this movie's going to be like. I don't know if it's going to be like, oh, yeah, Jesus didn't
it's
really
like
die.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
That's
it does. It looks like it's this kind of Roman epic. Like,
yeah, you're right. Ooh, this could be cool.
They're trying to figure... They're trying to...
Hey, it's from a decent director.
Jesus' body. Yeah.
So.
It looks good. Awesome. So check out the trailer for Risen. Just search Risen trailer. There's two of them. There was another one that you and I saw.
Yeah.
That was different than the one I've seen. But they're both really good. So it looks like it's...
So Bill, check it out.
Yeah. So Bill...
You'll like that.
So check out the Risen trailer. But that's what I want. Like, the Bible, see, here's the thing. The Bible is such a great story, and people make it, and when they do lesser with it than they could.
Well, what about Exodus, the most recent one?
Oh, yeah,
one?
I know.
That was epic, right? Had a great
cast.
director.
Yeah.
I mean, that had a huge budget.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. Well, it got not great reviews, and it didn't quite follow
right.
The script. And then Noah was another one. A lot of people railed against that, but that was unbiblical, so it's okay.
Yeah, so they're trying to, those directors or whatever are trying to make it more secular
by
bringing other texts and stuff. But then that doesn't work, because then the Christians don't want to see it, and the other people are like, I don't really care about this. So it misses their audience. I don't know. Maybe if they had more product placement.
I still like the Ten Commandments. That's probably the best
Jewish
film I've ever seen.
I haven't seen it. Okay.
What? You haven't seen the original Ten Commandments?
So, no, I have not.
Man, hey, everybody, go get on Facebook, get on Chris Shadowin's page, and leave him a message about going to see it.
See?
Show up in force, and then he'll have to watch it.
The Ten Commandments? Okay.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments.
All right, so then we had somebody write in, as you can, to podcastviewfinder@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's podcastviewfinder, all one word, @gmail.com.
Isn't all that one word?
Yeah. No.
What? @gmail.com is also one word.
It's all, you don't put any spaces in there, it won't work. Okay, if you never emailed somebody. So Adrienne wrote in, and she said, I'm a little behind on the podcast, she just caught up, but she said, the Hitchbot conversation, so a couple weeks ago we talked about Hitchbot, who was this robot that was hitchhiking across the United States. He'd hitchhiked across Canada and some European countries. And in America, he didn't make it very far before he was killed in Philadelphia. His head was ripped off. But we compared him to Cecil the Lion.
Yeah, which that dentist returned to work today.
Oh, good.
You saw that. That's good. But he's getting a lot of hate.
So Cecil the Lion was a lion that was killed by a dentist over in Africa, and people were really mad about it. So we had said, the reason that people were so upset about these things is because Hitchbot had a name, so did Cecil the Lion. So she said, I don't think people got an uproar about Hitchbot in the same way they did about Cecil the Lion. She said, they were not comparable as we compared them. She said, I agree with you on Cecil, that they personified it, gave it a personality by giving a name and whatever, but I think the outcry on Hitchbot was that someone was selfish. I thought we talked about that. I thought we were talking about it was like a selfish thing, like they were doing this to get pleasure for themselves.
Yeah.
But the idea behind Hitchbot was the collective unified item, this is Adrienne talking, that the world could pass around and bond over, a tangible connection to people around the world, like an unceremonious passing of the Olympic torch, or the idea behind...
Yeah, bring the world together.
Where's George, which is the dollar bill thing. You can see where your dollar bill's been and who's had it and all that stuff. So if someone got the torch and destroyed it, there'd be an outcry, not over the false personality of the torch, but what it symbolizes. So if someone out there decided to be selfish and destroy Hitchbot because they didn't care about anyone else or the bigger idea. So she's saying like their outcry was more of just this symbol
of
we're
unity.
All together. Yeah. And not because it had a personality.
I could see some of that, but I still think the personality played a part.
Well, yeah, because he was like a trivia robot or something.
I mean, because you felt more connected. Like, he's a person as opposed to the dollar. I don't feel like, oh, this is a person. I get mad that you stopped the movement, but I think I get even more mad because I felt he was personalized.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the same. Cecil the Lion, he was just minding his own business. Of which, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lion.
Okay. He's a lion.
He's a lion. No, he was.
How do you know if he's telling
now
the
he's
truth?
A skin.
You don't, because he's a lion. Okay. All right. So.
All right.
Thank you, listeners. Go write us at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to our podcast.
One of these days, we'll actually have a Facebook page.
So now, okay, here we go. We're gonna get deep. We're gonna get into some topics here. So first, no, we're going to talk about product placement, but why product placement is so important.
All right.
All that stuff. So first, we're just talking about product placement. So on my Facebook, I put, what's the best or worst product placement in a movie or TV show?
What did you get?
So Jonathan said the best and worst at the same time was FedEx from Castaway. So our opening quote was from Wilson from Castaway.
Yeah.
But here's what I found out about.
It wasn't from Wilson. It's from Wilson.
Wilson was from
Castaway.
Wilson was
a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't from Wilson from Castaway.
I said Wilson from Castaway.
It wasn't Wilson.
Wilson's the ball.
I know. He wasn't saying anything.
He's a character.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, sorry. It was from Tom Cruise. Yeah. Tom Hanks' character.
Where is this guy?
Tom Hanks saying, Wilson, that's when Wilson dies. But when Wilson dies in the TV...
Don't you feel something,
you
right?
You feel connection.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Castaway from 2001 or whatever it was. So Wilson is a volleyball.
Yeah.
But they give
it's
it
a brand.
It's a brand name of volleyball. So he gives it personalities.
And he makes a face on it.
If you've never heard of Castaway or whatever, it's a movie where Tom Hanks gets shipwrecked.
Yeah.
But he's a FedEx delivery guy. So the FedEx is in there too. So, but yeah, but you feel that connection to Wilson.
Yeah, I do.
So when he floats away, you're like,
I know!
Wilson, no! And you're yelling it so loud in our offices. We don't have a studio, if you didn't know. But, so, we'll get reprimanded later. But, you have that connection. It's a volleyball. It's not a real thing.
But then you forget that, you comment it, you're like, he is Wilson. And then you kind of forget that, oh, that's the brand of the volleyball too.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever think about that anymore. I'm not like, oh, Wilson the brand. I'm like, he's Wilson the volleyball. It makes sense.
I only buy Wilson volleyballs because of that movie.
You do. It's true. Every year.
Every year we buy new ones.
Somebody takes ours.
Every year we have this youth event where we go and play volleyball, and every year a volleyball disappears. I think
Wilson.
It's just,
you need to name it.
Wilson! Yeah, I know.
Face on
it's a joke. I don't know. But the FedEx. So FedEx and Wilson, neither one of them paid for their product to be in the movie. I thought that was fascinating because usually when you think of product placement, you're like, oh, these people paid millions of dollars because oh, Tom Hanks is going to be in a movie. We want FedEx to be in there. We want Wilson of volleyball to be in there. And so, yes, let us. But the director went and approached these companies and said, hey, we want to use your product. FedEx was crazy because FedEx like went through the script and looked at how they portrayed FedEx in the thing. And they're like,
branding and marketing.
Yeah, they're like, we think that this would be okay for you to use, which I found a little bit weird, right? Because I was like, oh, why would they care? But he's like, they're like, you show a crash and people die, our employees die in the movie.
Yeah.
And also, like, so is that who we are as a company? Like, they didn't want to give themselves a bad name, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about this one. Sorry. Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Like, that's in the title of the movie. Never seen that movie and won't, but...
I've seen pieces. It's pretty funny.
Oh, gosh. That movie
again,
is...
I was working in... Not...
working in the Christian bookstore. Right, they're showing that. Dog. What's after Courageous? Harold Kumar go to White Castle.
Who put that in there?
James! So FedEx did not pay to be in the movie.
That's just...
But
mind-boggling.
They had they had a team of marketers that were there for the 2 years of filming.
Wow.
So they like watched everything to make sure, and then in the end they decided, hey, our brand can be in this movie because it shows like their values.
Isn't that crazy?
It shows...
They waited till the end.
No, it wasn't at the end.
Never mind. You can't.
You don't want it. So, but it showed like their roots, like all this stuff, like that they agreed it to on as a brand.
Yeah.
But they were very careful about their brand, their what they were selling, right? So
yeah.
So FedEx. So thanks, Jonathan, for saying that. Who else wrote in? Let's see. We also have Steven said that Fast and Furious and Dodge. Seriously, not a car you want in that movie. Way to sell out. And then the movie Jobs and the Apple products, because the movie Jobs is about
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And he did Apple.
So John said the Truman Show, which. It has fake product placement. Like, they're not real products, but
it's
they're making
fun
of product placement, which is funny. Johnny says, the worst is Marlboro and Superman 2. And so Johnny is a guy that, like, used to teach a class. He might still teach a class, but it was about anti-smoking.
Yeah.
And I remember this segment because I went and watched him teach the class one day, and he talked about how Marlboro, who's owned by the Philip Morris people, like they got their product in the movie. I think they paid for it, but then they also got return for it. They got paid for it. But he sent me a link to the contract, and it says, this is in the contract for the movie from Philip Morris. We shall have absolute discretion as to the final content of the film and all artistic and technical decisions over all aspects of production and post-production of the film.
Isn't that crazy? That's like huge.
In the movie, they made Lois Lane a chain smoker.
And she's not in the comics.
And not in the comics. And then later there's like a Superman comic where they're like fighting Nick O'Teen, who's like a bad guy or
what
whatever.
What is this? Is this Captain Planet?
So yeah, I know, right? With our powers combined. But yeah, so they have like rights over the film, and even like when it can be shown, like that part has to be shown. There's a part where like Superman flies through a Marlboro truck or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I also learned this, that Marlboro, like cigarette companies don't put their logo on the side of their trucks because they don't want people to steal from them. So they like invented this truck that's not even real. The other uproar with this was that it's teens. Like the movie's geared towards teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Well, at this time of the movie that was made, cigarette commercials weren't allowed to advertise on television.
Yeah.
And so like for this ad to be in there is kind of like this blatant ad. It was just interesting. He's like, because there's kind of some uproars about it, but Superman flies through a big Marlboro truck. It's not even real. But or a sign or something. Yeah, some kind of big thing. So, thanks, Johnny. Because that was fascinating to me. Angela, my wife, said in 24, they would use the new apps on their phone and the call services devices in the car. And she said she thinks it was Sprint. She doesn't remember. But, they would get in and be like, boop, boop. They would do, like, the talk. Maybe it was Nokia. Nokia, like, the talk thing or whatever.
Probably.
And then, but I was thinking it was Ford Focus, but I think that, I don't even know if it was Ford Focus, but it was some type of car in Fringe, the TV show Fringe.
Yes.
Like they would get in the car and be like, navigate me to this place. And they're like, all right, we're navigating. You're like, wow, these new features on this car. Like it was so dumb. So Royal Pains, I've never watched that show, but in it, the guy sent a link to it. Auto Trader, have you ever used that app or whatever?
Yeah, I've looked online. Yeah, I've used it.
So it's a scene with three people discussing. I haven't used it, but it's three people discussing. And she's like, "Yeah, I had to get a new car." I was like, "Ah, how'd you get a new car?" She's like, "Well, I just used Auto Trader. This app, like, it's so good." And she like walks through how to use the app. And they're like, "Wow, that's
so
really
what
inventive."
Was that
from the show Royal Pains, the USA
awesome.
Show. I was like, "That is, it's so." So Andrew, that was Andrew. Thanks for Andrew's a listener. He like even wrote us this weekend, said thanks for he was listening while I mowed grass. It says Royal Pains had so many product placements. However, I've never seen anything as straightforward as this scene. I felt like I was watching a commercial. And I watched it, and it does. It's like a commercial inside the TV show. And then Ryan.
What about Hannah?
Where's Hannah? Did I skip one?
Yeah,
oh,
the Amazing Spider-Man.
Peter using Bing. Seriously?
Bing.com. You guys should check it out.
Seriously?
Yeah, I hear it's great.
Yeah.
It's good for searching.
She said seriously. That's why. Sorry, I skipped that one. I didn't see that one. And then finally, Ryan said the Nissan Rogue. Claire drives her Rogue to school one morning. I don't know. It's in Heroes, in the TV show Heroes.
Yeah.
There's a. But it's funny. You can go back. Like, product placement in movies is a big deal.
It's huge.
What's the product?
James Bond.
Which?
Blu-ray. And
ooh.
Sony products. In the Casino Royale, he has a lot of Ford cars, and he has a lot of Sony products. And that's how he tracks stuff, that's how he does stuff, and so you find it's all driven by those two products.
So I was playing some trivia this week. So wait, what'd you say? It was Ford and...
It was Ford or Ford-owned companies like Jaguar, Land Rover, Aston Martin, or Sony. Sony
okay.
Phone, Sony everything.
Ooh. So... This was on a trivia game I was playing. What product placement deal made for the 2012 film Skyfall led to a change in James Bond's on-screen drinking habits?
Ooh.
So James Bond, the movies have been around since 1962.
Shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, martini, shaken, not stirred. That's his drink. And so it says Agent 007, played by Daniel Craig, abandoned his trademark martini and started swigging beer as a part of a $45 million deal with Heineken. The arrangement left many Bond fans both shaken and stirred.
Oh,
very funny trivia guy.
Oh.
So I was thinking, like, 50 years of history.
Well, yeah, that's right.
But they change it.
But think about James Bond Goldeneye. They changed it from an Aston Martin to a what? A BMW Z3.
Yeah. And that made...
That was huge because, like, whoa, you can't change it.
They said they got $2 million in pre-sales for that change of
car. Then they decided to bring it back, but that caused an uproar too. And so, product placement.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the power of product placement, right?
Yeah,
because the fact that they would change this whole thing because they wanted to, I mean, they changed this. staple in the film.
Yeah.
Because the martini isn't a specific brand, right? It's just martini, no. Shaken, not stirred, or whatever. But so for him to say, I want a Heineken now, or whatever.
I don't think he said that. I think he's just swigging it down.
Yeah, so... But people are mad about it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of mad about it. I didn't even know about it until I read this trivia question. I'm mad about that now.
So why is that, though? Why do we get mad? Why do I get mad when James Bond changes his style?
Because it's something that... Like, it's a staple to that movie franchise, right? So it's something like,
Does it define the person? Does it help define them? You're like, oh, you're known by this.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of another movie where if they did something different, it would be... I don't know. I'm trying to think like, okay, what would happen if they changed... But I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But so I watched Wreck-It Ralph this weekend. I hadn't seen that movie in a long time. That is a really good movie. Have you seen Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah, I like it.
So the first time I saw it, I didn't like it. So I'm like, Wreck-It Ralph.
What?
Because I think I thought there was going to be a lot more insider video game stuff besides just the room of bad guys.
Should have watched the other one.
The other one?
Pixel.
Oh, I haven't seen Pixels yet either. But so I watched Wreck-It Ralph again, and I was like, this is a really good movie. But there's product placement in Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah, I know there's some video game stuff. But they're in the arcade,
yeah.
And there's a Subway cup.
Ooh.
Sitting on like
so I don't remember things. That.
Yeah, well, because I'm looking for it now because we're doing the show today. I knew we're then I like saw it. I was like, why is there a Subway cup in the arcade? Like it's product placement in a Disney movie, a cartoon.
Yeah,
but Toy Story, the product Ooh. Placement in Toy Story 2, or not Toy Story 2, Toy Story the first one, Etch-a-Sketch sales rose 4,500%. That's
worth it right there.
That
right?
is insane.
Yeah, but so, I mean, when you're at like one, if you only sell one,
yeah,
raising 4,000.
Yeah, but did they, I don't know, like I don't know if they paid for it. Like there's a lot of toys in that. Etch-a-Sketch and then Mr. Potato Head sold 800%.
Barbie's huge, right, in Toy Story. And they have, how many toys were made up for that movie? Obviously Woody. Obviously, the dinosaur, yeah. Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head wasn't made up for that
okay,
movie.
Okay, well then, see, there's another product that probably skyrocketed.
It did, 800%. Buzz Lightyear? Wait, did you not know there was a Mr. Potato Head before that movie?
No, why would I? Why
you,
would I?
You never played with Mr. Potato Head growing up?
No, I am young. I have video games.
Yeah, but when you're like a kid.
Well, I would have real toys. I got digital.
You had a real potato, and your mom's like, here, glue some googly eyes on it. You're like, thanks a lot, Mom.
The off-brand.
Wait, how do you not know Mr. Potato Head's been around forever?
Dude, isn't that crazy, though? Toy Story.
Yeah.
It created its own products to sell, and now it sells them to kids, and you know it by that.
So, yeah, the new Star Wars toys just came out this week, too.
Right? And that's, little droid.
That's funny, because Star Wars, like, the movie hasn't released yet, but they're, like, selling the products for it already.
Oh, like, that's making them tons of money.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I got a friend who just bought a droid.
It's a little droid thing.
It's
that
awesome.
Thing's crazy.
But it was $150. I'm like, wow, that's
a lot of money. Showed it. It's in the trailer, right? It's like a little ball that rolls, and it's got
like
a little...
It's like the... Well, it's pretty big. But the real one's big.
Oh, the real one's big, but the toy is really small.
Oh, yeah.
But when you see it, when you saw them, they're like, oh, that's a cool droid or whatever. And then they're like, they brought one on stage.
It's real. Yeah. You're like, that's not CGI.
I can have that and control it with my phone.
Yeah, you can. I watched a teardown. The little one is just like the big one. It works in the exact same way.
Really?
They use the same mechanics. And, I mean, it's made out of plastic and stuff. It's not as durable. It's not metal.
Yeah. But it's a ball, but there's like a head that sits on it that I don't know how it works.
He uses magnets and he uses gyros and different things like that. It's really cool how it...
It's $150.
And it always stays upright because it's built that way. You should check it out.
Yeah.
You tear it down.
What's it called? I don't even know. It's like...
BB-8 or something.
BB-8. So, did you drink your V8 today? Yeah. So, but yeah, but products... I think, some movies, like, make products, like, okay, how can we market stuff? The movie Spaceballs, like, makes fun of the marketing. It's like,
Pizza the Hut.
Pizza the Hut. But, well, they have, like, a merchandise room. It's like, merchandising. It's like, they got the Spaceballs lunchbox, toilet paper, flamethrower, like, all this stuff.
Well, what about the other movie? We haven't mentioned this, but it just came out. It's the biggest movie of the year.
Jurassic World. Yeah.
It's a rampant product placement.
Yeah,
what were some of the things? They even make a joke, right? Verizon. Why don't we just call it...
Oh, yeah. They make a joke about it.
Pepsosaurus Rex.
Pepsosaurus Rex, yeah.
But in that, we see tons of product placement. You'll see Starbucks. You'll see...
Samsung.
Samsung, for sure. I was about to say Apple, but I was like, no, they're not in that.
Was Panasonic in there, too?
You see Jurassic Park memorabilia. Right? They're trying to tell you all the old stuff.
They're like, oh, here, yeah.
Check it out.
Because the guy has an old t-shirt. He's like, yeah, I bought this old t-shirt off eBay. He's like, well, it's retro. You're like,
and now everyone's like, I want to get retro. I know. They probably have a second or third edition printing. But that got me thinking about the original Jurassic Park and what's a huge product that it's known by. You almost, it's integral. Integral, yeah.
Integral, the dinosaurs? Wait.
Okay, dinosaurs, what product? There's a mission from the very beginning, and it's set up. The guy is supposed to go in and get what?
Wait, oh, the first one?
Yes, the first one, Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, he's getting the embryo.
But how's he supposed to get it out?
Barbasol. Barbasol, yeah, the shaving cream.
I mean, boom, right at the beginning. It's like, hey, check this out, but it's cool.
We got Dotson here. Yeah.
Dotson. But you're like, I don't even think of it like as product placement because it's done so well. Because you're like, man, I wish I had a can that did that.
Yeah.
Ooh, and look, it works.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody checks it out.
Barbasol.
But we even still bring it up. Like, you and I will talk about it. We'll be like, what about the can? That's going to come up in another one,
yeah,
right?
We still talk about that can, but it never...
It's never resurfaced
yep.
yet. Maybe so, in the future.
So, but you... Okay, you brought up a good point about the whole idea of... Like, I associate James Bond with these things. And when they alter that, it frustrates me. So, if like, Superman, instead of him having a cape, he's like, I'm going to start wearing a feather boa from whatever. Like, he replaces, the cape. Like, I'm like, okay, what's integral to him as a character are those red boots. He's like, I'm going to start wearing Tevas.
I got some Uggs. I have seen some guys wearing Uggs.
Don't do that.
Which, I don't know, it's kind of... Interesting. I'm not going to make a judgment call on this. It's just, I've never really associated guys.
I'm going to make a judgment call. Don't wear Uggs. Anybody. So, no, but that, so product placement, like it helps us to define the characters. Not, and it doesn't have to be a product per se, but like something.
But does it help us define ourselves though, too? Because we live ourselves out through the character.
Yeah.
Well, you might not, but you're like, oh man, he's right.
If I did drink, I
would be like James Bond.
If I drank this.
Yeah, I would have this thing. I would do this. I would wear this. I would have this watch. I would drive this car.
That's true. I would have these things.
Yeah, so we get our inspiration from these characters. Do you think we're emotionally invested?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because the end of that, I mean, the Wilson part, like, I'm emotionally invested in a volleyball. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with ventriloquists. Like, there's a ventriloquist guy that like puts on.
This is so creepy.
He puts on a little like pig puppet on his hand, so it's basically a glove, and then like the middle finger is like a pig head, and so he does this bit where he stands on the microphone and he's like talking to the pig. I think his name's Paco. He's like, Paco, he's like, show me your trick that you can do. He's like, I'm nervous. Like the little pig's nervous. He's like, come on, Paco. And he's like,
it's like a real person.
Yeah, like, come on, stand up. And he's like, he like tries it and he keeps failing. And finally he like stands up and he's using his thumb to balance on the microphone. He's like, oh, Paco. And like everybody like claps and cheers and stuff. He goes, hey guys, you realize you're cheering for a thumb, right? You're cheering for my thumb. And everybody's like, and then they laugh even harder because you're like, I got so wrapped up in this puppet that's not even real. And it's the same with like Wilson, this product. Like I get attached to this thing, right?
Yeah.
This product. And that's what I think advertisers are trying to do. No, I don't think that. I know that.
Yeah.
They want you to make an emotional connection to their product. That's why you have a lot of beer commercials that are really funny, because you laugh and you're having a good time. And so you associate that with, oh, I'm having a good time. This is...
Or what about the most interesting man?
Yeah.
Well, I want to be an interesting man. If he's drinking it, I want to drink it.
Right. Well, hey, our disclosure that we always have on here. One, we're not sponsored by anybody. But two, we're not endorsing any of these products, TV shows, movies that we say. So use your discretion when you use these products.
Yeah, don't take anything we say out of context, please. Yeah.
So... But the thing with those products, so I think back because, Johnny that did the cigarette class, like he talks about advertising in it, and he talks about beer commercials as well. Cause there was a commercial where like a guy throws a beer out of a plane and he doesn't have a parachute or something, but he jumps anyway. Or there's some kind of thing. And then there's another one there at the grocery store and like, they're like swiping and he realized like, I don't have enough money. I can either get beer or toilet paper, and he puts the toilet paper back. because he needs beer. And it's like, it's putting this message in your mind that like beer is the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's more important than life, it's more important than toilet paper, it's more.
Yeah.
And so you're not realizing that, but it, that's what the advertiser's trying to get. Like, this is important. You got to have this in your life.
Yeah.
And so it'll change your life. Like, yeah. What's a product that you think of right away that you're like, okay, this is a product that they like, it's not necessarily about the product, but they're pushing emotion. They're pushing some kind of lifestyle on me that I haven't even, like, that I wouldn't normally associate with this object.
Hmm, man, I don't know.
I've got one, that gum commercial. It was for
Orbitz.
No.
For a good, clean feeling.
No, it's a wintergreen. I don't know. I don't even know what gum it is.
Juicy fruit.
But it's this guy, every time they chew the gum, he takes a little silver wrapper and like makes it into a little origami like bird. Have you seen that commercial?
No. What?
Oh, man. So he like takes it and he makes it into like an origami bird. And he does that over and over. But it's like it shows his daughter growing up. And they're like, they'll be chewing gum at a baseball game. Or they'll be chewing gum.
Emotion.
Yeah. So you get it like, and they're like on a train and he makes one for and all this stuff. And so. So
they attach it to a memory.
So you're getting into. So she's getting in her car to drive off to college. And like they're about to close the trunk or whatever. And he like. Takes a piece of gum, chews it, and he folds it into a little bird, and he hands it to her. And she says, thanks, Dad. And, like, she turns, and she opens up this box, and she's got a box that's full of all the little silver things that he's made for. And I'm like, oh, my gosh!
Right.
So, like, crying. And then, oh, man, what gum is it? It's I can picture the package.
I mean, it's got to have a wrapper. It can't be one of those.
It's that blue,
where
like
pop
winter fresh, that blue gum, whatever. So yeah, but there's just this emotional connection within like 30 seconds of this commercial, a minute. And I'm like, oh man, I gotta do that with my daughter. Like I just have this like immediate man. Once you have kids, every commercial makes you cry. With Hallmark commercials, you're like,
well, this makes me think of something.
Johnny's in the war.
So there's a big event each year. It's the most watched event, usually.
Super Bowl.
Yes, in America.
And yeah.
Right? So I tune in
to watch
for the commercials.
Commercials.
But this lately, if you notice the commercials, what have they been doing? They've shifted how they...
They're not funny anymore. They were sad.
There's a story attached to them, right?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we're going to attach this. And so you get this, and you're like, it's advertising Doritos, and I'm crying. What?
Well, last year, there was a commercial about kids dying. It was a really awful commercial. Yeah. It was like, you need to insure your family. And you're like, yeah, I do. I want my kids to
die.
I was
you're like my best friend now. I need you.
Yes.
And so these advertisers.
Avatars.
Advertisers.
Yeah, advertisers.
Avatar.
They want you to have an emotional connection. Is that what?
Yeah.
So what you were saying, sorry. The advertisers, because once you connect emotionally, you're going to buy that product. Folgers Coffee did that. Where that girl, like, one morning she gets up. She comes down and her like brother's returned from the war or something. And she's like, and he's like, hey, don't wake up mom and dad. But it's like the Christmas. She's like, this is the best Christmas present I could ever get. Or something. You're like, oh man, I want coffee now. Like, I don't even drink coffee. But if I did, I would drink Starbucks. No. So I put this question out on my Facebook too. What product do you use for the cool factor?
Ooh.
Right? Because you watch the show.
Yeah.
What are you talking about with James Bond? Like, oh, I want these products so I can be...
I want to dress up in a suit because I want to look like...
I'll be like James Bond. I'm going to wear this certain kind of watch or whatever. So I said the iPhone 6 makes me so much cooler in life. Because the iPhone is one of those things for me. I'm like, this is cool, right? This is cool... Like, because all the commercials of the iPhone, they're like, everybody's having a great time. They're sharing music. They're sharing life. It's so good. My friend John said air conditioning. And I gave him a big thumbs down
because I said with a certain character,
I was like some wrestler guy, and he said I thought it was brilliant, and I said it was, but yeah, air conditioning, the cool factor, get it because he's cold. Somebody else said ice, thanks to who said ice? I can't find it right now. Kevin. Kevin said ice, so thanks, Kevin. Funny, you guys are funny people. Damon, what?
Those are funny things.
Damon said Apple makes. Apple anything makes you cooler. Right now, it's the watch. So one of our coworkers has an Apple Watch, which I think they're cool. I probably won't buy one because they're expensive.
I guess they're cool. They don't do a whole lot.
It doesn't do anything different than my phone does, but I'm still like, I have an Apple Watch. It's so cool. I can feel my heartbeat.
I'm going to actually get in shape now.
This is a good one. Cameron said selfie sticks, 100%. He said he uses selfie sticks to make himself feel cool. Right? Because you're taking pictures, or you're like, this is my life. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
You don't agree with that?
I mean, selfie sticks, I do it because they're popular. And I want to get as many people in a picture as possible.
Well, yeah, popular because you want to feel cool. Like, you want, like, the popularity is being cool, right?
No, I just want to be popular. You don't have to be cool and be popular.
When I say the cool factor, it's the popularity
thing. Okay, it's the popularity thing, yeah.
No, you do it because you want people to notice you and think, oh, that person's got it, that person's arrived, or whatever. So, our friend Nicholas, Nick, he said pants.
Yeah, what?
Pants isn't a product.
Levi's.
Yeah, he didn't say a specific brand. Like, oh yeah, if I'm gonna want people to notice me and think that I'm cool, I'm gonna wear pants. Actually, if you weren't wearing pants, I think more people would notice you. But I've been saying,
please wear pants.
Yeah. Then Peyton said shoes, and I'm like, nah, that's
dress shoes.
That's a broad, well. Then he said dress shoes because I said which kind of shoes. Like, oh, nice dress shoes. Okay, I can understand that, but like, there's specific brands that I wear, they're like, oh yeah, I wear Adidas shoes, or I wear, right now I'm wearing Skechers. I'm not a big fan of Skechers. They're okay.
I'm wearing Tigers.
But, you just made that up.
No, it's Ritz. Look!
You killed
Tiger!
You killed Cecil the Tiger!
He's a tiger now.
So you wear shoes.
I don't hunt.
Okay. Not anymore. Okay. Yeah, so pants and shoes, that's not a specific product.
Coupons.
Sorry,
I skipped a few.
Well, yeah. Because Wayne said, hi, karate? Is that's a product that he uses?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what high karate is, but he's using karate to be cool. James and Terry said Starbucks is a cool factor drink. I'd agree with that. I feel cooler when I drink Starbucks. If I show up and I'm drinking Starbucks and you show up and you're drinking McDonald's brand coffee.
Oh, I feel so much more superior. I'm like, that guy's a loser.
No, I'm saying you had McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
And I have Starbucks. I feel superior to you in that moment. You don't think so?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, yeah. So okay,
I think you're superior to me. I'm like, man, I got this dumb McDonald's.
And I'll knock it out of your hand and say,
I hope it go buy real coffee.
Somebody said a flat iron. Otherwise, my hair looks like I stuck a finger in my socket, light socket. A flat iron? That's not a specific brand. But I guess like to look good. Because somebody else said makeup.
Yeah.
Like expensive, high-end makeup.
Yeah.
Hannah said that. She said Urban Decay Dior. Is that right? Dior. I don't even know how to say it.
Where are we
MAC.
At?
I skipped a bunch. Sorry. Technically, worth the price, lasts longer. But there's also exclusivity that comes from buying fancy makeup. So, yeah, what is that? Todd said Atari. It's been a few years. Brad said an AeroPress coffee brewer. Right? Because are you a coffee snob? Because there's those people that have all those coffee things like, oh, I'm cooler or whatever.
Well, I mean, I can't afford that yet, but one day I could be.
Yeah. Coupons. Melinda said that and had a winky face. Krista said, I would shop at Anthropology if I could afford it, because then I would be cool. I don't know.
You already are cool.
Yeah, somebody responded to her. And she said, ha, hardly. Okay.
Aww.
Kristen said, choosy moms choose Jif.
Ooh.
So.
But do you feel cool?
Yeah, when I'm eating Jif peanut butter and somebody brings in Peter Pan, I'm like a loser. Yeah, but so product superiority, right? Like, is there a product, maybe that's the question, what product, when you use it, you feel like you're better than other people?
I think it's certain beer. I don't do it, but certain people are like, hey, you got some Bud? And they're like, or Miller time? Or, you know, all that stuff. Depending on what they really like, they'll be like, oh, you have that trash.
Milwaukee's best.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, David said soap. I don't even know what that means. Dan said, I have a stainless steel Sharpie. It stinks and bleeds through everything, but it's pretty cool. So the Sharpie is stainless steel. Bryce replied to him and said, my steel Sharpie pen is the best. No smell, no bleed. I think he's lying. Abby said, I bought a touchscreen laptop because I wanted to feel cool. Right there. That's
right. I wish my laptop was touchscreen. It's not.
So before touchscreen was a popular thing, I was at Best Buy, bought a touchscreen HP, like Hewlett Packard, whatever computer.
And it wasn't cool, was it?
Well, because they have it on display at the place, and I'm like,
touch.
I can touch and play solitaire on this computer.
That's it. That's the reason you bought it.
It really was. Oh, it was like, touchscreen. So I bought it. I went home. I read some reviews on it, and it said, this is a dumb computer. It's just a gimmick. You don't want it. And so I took it back and bought a Mac. I haven't gone back. I love Macs. So
I'm so sorry for you.
But as you sit there with your iPhone and your MacBook, like, oh, I only use it for work, whatever.
I do. I would not have this any. I'm forced to at this point.
Yeah, well, because we all laughed at you and looked down on you because of.
I had a Toshiba. That was given to me. All right.
I know, and it worked for like a day.
Yeah, it's still in my closet. I saw it the other day. I haven't booted it up since. It stopped. It doesn't like, it's super slow. It doesn't like load.
Yeah, there you go.
It's disappointing.
And then Joel said hair products. So certain hair products that he uses that makes him feel cool.
For some reason, I'm thinking of a different Joel.
Oh, no.
No, like Johnny Bravo. That was cool.
Nobody knows who that is, but. So products are important in our life, but. So recently there was a Tylenol commercial. They talked about redefining family. They're like, when did you start fighting for what you call family? Why Tylenol, who like helps you with headache medicine, like why they're concerned about you fighting for the family? The only reason is because they want you to connect them with that, right? Like it's that emotional thing. So the Tylenol thing, there was a family. I'm just going to talk about it. Yeah. It's weird.
Okay.
But so it's this family. They married couple. Have, I think, 2 kids, 3 kids, whatever. Got divorced.
Yes.
But I think they still live in the same house. It was a little unclear.
That's what it kind of alludes to.
It kind of implies that. So they still live in the same house.
We don't know if this is real.
No, it's real.
How do you know it's real?
I don't. It seems like
it is. It's an advertisement. They just want to tell a story.
This is how we family or whatever.
They make it seem so perfect. Like, this is what you should go for, because look at us. We're perfect.
Yeah. So, because like the hashtag is this is how we family or something, whatever, it's weird. So, so they end up, so then the wife pursues a relationship with another woman, and then like they live at the house with the kids, and then the dad got remarried, and I think they all live in the same house is what it seems like. Because they didn't want there to be two different families. They didn't want to have to be like, two Christmases. Or,
why do
think
we
want to
break up our family?
Whatever. Yeah.
why should we get divorced?
Why should we? No, they got divorced.
I know, but I'm just like, if you really want to keep your family together, if it really mattered that much, I don't know. It seems compromised to me.
Yeah, they get divorced because they want, but it's just because
they want to go after what they want to go after.
Yeah, and so the Tylenol for what matters most. Like that's the. thing, but they looked at the Norman Rockwell painting, which is this famous painting of this white family sitting around the giant turkey, and I think it's called Freedom from Want is the name of the painting, but it's this typical white family, grandma grandpa are got this giant turkey, all the kids are happy and laughing and all this stuff, and so they're like saying, okay, that's how we used to define family, but now it's different, and so the other ones I watched, there's like an Asian family and. They came over, and there's a family from Uganda, or Nigeria. They're like, they're different families and different stuff, but then, like, you have other ideas of family that are like, okay, you're trying to make us have this feeling towards you that doesn't have anything to do with Tylenol. Family, like, I don't ever think, like, oh, I need Tylenol because... Because my family's messed up.
No, I don't. Like, I don't think of that. I don't get that at all for that.
And they're not saying the family's messed up. They're saying this is a new definition of family. There's a new day. You need to redefine your closed-mindedness of family, James. It's not a man and a woman with 2 kids anymore. It can be a woman and a woman. It can be a man and a man. It can be a woman and a woman living with a man and a woman.
Basically, there's no standard.
There's no standard. Because family is now different. And so we're not going to sit around and eat a turkey anymore. Maybe. Something different. It may be
some sort of bread.
Yeah, it may be the Yi Hoshida family. They have this like sticky pot or something, so that people put in what they want, take out what they want. So, but I watch those commercials. I'm like, wait, Tylenol. Like you're trying to make me redefine family, and I don't want to redefine the family. Like no. I look at the biblical like. The world,
yeah.
The
you look at it through your lens of, hey, this is
biblical worldview. Yeah.
This is the family. This is how it's been instituted: man, woman, and a man shall leave his parents and be united with his wife.
Yeah, and the two shall become one flesh. That one flesh part is like a new family unit. Like you become a new family unit.
Yeah,
and so when all these other ideas of family come in, like So do we redefine it?
Because do we say it's okay to aim for this instead?
Yeah, now it's like, whatever you want. However you want to define family, you can.
Yeah, I mean, because you could look at biblical families and be like, these are really messed up. I mean, look, Abraham had like four wives and like Jacob. All these people and look at all this. But I don't think that endorses, hey, this is the family you should be going after.
Because I heard a speaker one time say, not biblical marriage, but Christian marriage. He said, biblical marriage, if you look at Bible marriages, they're all kind of crazy. Yeah. I mean, you had Isaac, who his dad almost killed him, almost sacrificed him. I mean, yeah, God stopped him and God was testing his faith, but that's still going to live with you for the rest of your life. Oh, yeah. Dad, remember that time you tried to kill me? I think you should get me a car for my birthday. And then Isaac's family, like, he's deceptive. He gets deceived. Jacob plays favorites. Like his sons, he's like, I don't like you guys very much, but Joseph, he's my favorite. That causes all kinds of problems.
David cheats on his wife and steals
another guy's wife
and kills him,
murders the.
That's crazy. But then we see in the New Testament the shift, and it says, hey, you should be a one marriage, and hey.
Polygamy's not a good thing.
Yeah, polygamy's not a good thing. You don't see that endorsed. You don't see Jesus endorse it either. He says, hey, Moses allowed these things because you guys are weak, all right? But God didn't intend it to be this way.
Yeah, this is how it should be. And so, so when I see this, when I see Tonal trying to redefine family, I'm like, wait, Tonal, like, don't, like, stay in your business. Like, your business is, like, to give people headache medicine,
But this is the family that they're giving the headache medicine to now.
Well, yeah, they're saying, so for 60 years, the makers of Tom have helped to care for families. So to celebrate the holidays this year, I think this was last year or whatever, the makers of Tom have decided to put a modern spin on Norman Rockwell's classic holiday painting, Freedom from Want, to help illustrate how modern families come together to celebrate what matters most during the holidays. So one of the videos was really touching. It was this lady who her sister and brother-in-law both died, and she became the caretaker for this kid. And she talked about what it was that made that connection between her and her son who went through this tragedy or whatever. He was young when it happened, but she's like, I would write him letters every day and that wouldn't connect. But when we started baking together, she's like, hey, your mom has a recipe for chocolate chip cookies that's the best. Do you want to make those together? And he's like, yeah, you're going to talk about my mom now? I will join in this with you. And so, I agree there's going to be certain circumstances where the family is not going to be the typical whatever family.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying if our listeners out there, if you have a family that's odd or blended or whatever, that's not bad. I'm not condemning that. I'm saying, though, the standard, like, God sets the standard, right?
Yeah.
And if we go on different views of that, I don't know. I'm getting into, like, dangerous territory here. I feel like you're giving me these weird looks, James. I don't know.
Don't lower, because the thing is, I don't know, people will feel judged when they shouldn't. You're like, oh, you're judging me. You're saying I'm not good enough. You're judging my identity. Well, your identity, I wouldn't say, is necessarily in that.
Yeah.
Your identity is always in Christ. I think that's a lot of times we forget that. Like, my identity is being this or pushing this view. And again, that's why we're talking about this, is because we get advertising and just products, because you get identity from some of these products, right? Yeah. I get identity from some of this stuff. But we're always pushed to say, hey, I'm not cool because I'm drinking Coca-Cola, or I'm not, like, sharing happiness in a bottle because of Coca-Cola or Apple. I'm not cool because I have an Apple Watch. That doesn't matter in the end. What matters is, do I get more joy and more identity out of Christ? So
right. And yeah, and products, but that's what products want you to identify and say, if I don't have this, I'm lesser person. If I'm not wearing Nike shoes, then I'm not going to be a good athlete, or I'm not going to be cool.
And what does a product ultimately want out of you?
Money,
yes, but they ultimately want a lifelong customer who promotes their product.
They want,
And so you just said earlier that you're an Apple person, and actually you promote that, and you talk about it. You're like, hey, it's so cool, and James, you're so dumb. You like Xbox.
And I'm a Sony guy, too. I'm a Sony guy.
And so
PS4 all the way.
You're the perfect
person.
So much
better than Xbox.
Oh, and by the way, Bill from earlier got an Xbox One. So you're, take that.
Go watch the dumb movies.
They have a...
Just kidding. All right.
You are the perfect person for these products.
Oh, I am.
Because you not only consume them, you're loyal, but you also push them. So, free advertising.
So, my wife says I'm every advertiser's dream. Because when I sit down and I'm like, if I'm eating some Cheerios, I'm like, oh, look, here's the history of Cheerios. Oh, wow, did you know that they use this many grains in their brain? Like,
Nine grains.
I know.
It's healthy for your heart.
Stacy's pita chips. I know the story of Stacy and like her lemonade stand. There's all this stuff. I'm like, I read about products and how they were made. I read the Hardee's bag that tells like what they were failing, and they're like, we're going to make a better hamburger.
You know,
and they did it.
For those of you who don't know, this is actually the Truman Show. You're in the Truman Show. You are Truman. We're actually a part of it. We're actors.
So
how's that? Does that blow your mind? Right? Is that blowing your mind?
Wait, who? The listeners?
The listeners. Oh, you, yeah. The listener. Yeah, you. I'm talking directly to you.
I thought you were talking to me personally.
No. You're like, part of the advertising.
I would gladly accept that because advertisers know how to advertise to me.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I read the stories. I want to know about the history of my product. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, these chips were made by this person? Like, oh, a little kid started this. Oh, yeah, of course I want to buy these.
Of course. It went from having 2 pennies in his pocket to working hard.
I know. This guy. Paula Deen.
Now, I've been looking up since I didn't look this up earlier, but I felt like somebody said this about how our brains work. Okay, because that's important. Your brain is pretty important, and how it works. And so you have two sides of you, right? You have the rational side,
yes.
And the emotional. You can make rational decisions where you think through the consequences, and you can make emotional decisions where, like, and that can be some of the worst stuff ever. Because have you ever seen somebody who's emotional and they get on Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah. They
emotionally vomit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, one of the things that I've been trying to find is some research on just how when we see these advertisements, which part of our brain is going off. And so, if I'm an advertiser, now I found an older article from 2011 from The Atlantic, and it just talked about thinking versus feeling, the psychology of advertising. Found it interesting. Still not super conclusive, but that was 4 years ago. But if I'm... You see these advertisers, they're advertising to your emotions because your emotions are very strong. Your emotional side of your brain wants to be in control. Because how many of you, you're like, no, I'm a very rational person. Well, how many of you have said, you know what, the rational thing to do right now is turn off the TV and go work out. But then you're like, but I think I'll enjoy watching TV instead. Yeah. And so that shows...
I've never done that, but I can see how people might do that.
Your emotional part of your brain's... working out. How many of you go to the mall and you're like, okay, rationally, I can't afford this product. And then you buy it anyway, right?
Yeah.
You're like, and you're like, well, I could probably pay it off in intervals. So I'll just get a credit card from the Express credit card or Best Buy credit card. I have a Best Buy credit card.
Yep.
And so I'm like, I can just pay it off in intervals. But ultimately, we see there's this battle between your emotional part and your rational part. And you're like, man, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you're saying that we don't rationally... So the advertisers are trying to appeal to our emotional side.
Absolutely.
So that we normally maybe not buy that product, but because I have an emotional connection to it. Because
the emotional connection's stronger than the rational choice.
Snapple? I hardly ever drink Snapple, but when it was on The Amazing Race, I'm like, oh, I need to try Amazing Race brand Snapple. Because that sounds really good.
Well, you liked Amazing Race. So, and think about this. We didn't actually cover this, and we don't have time today. But what about the movies and the products, or the movies you dislike, and they have certain products? Do you start to dislike those products?
Well, like Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I'm like, oh.
Since
White Castle...
must be bad, because Harold and Kumar, you associate that with being, oh, this is dirty
drugs,
humor.
Sex, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're like, I'm not gonna support that.
It's a good thing, because I was eating there every day. Oh, man, they have chicken fries.
Dude, those little burgers.
I know.
We have one in Evansville. No one goes to it. I don't know why.
It's always there. I mean...
I never knew it existed.
White Castle is one of those things that I absolutely love, but I'll never eat there because it does something fierce to my body.
And that's all you need to do.
That's all you need to do. It makes me fat. But
So what should we... Like, what's the big takeaway? For those out there, what's your big takeaway? What do you think?
So, Just know that, like, advertisers are promoting a worldview.
Yeah.
They're trying to get you to believe something about yourself and the world around you so that you make a decision to buy their product. Because I was thinking about the Kleenex brand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I call it Kleenex. Like, I'm like, hey, give me a Kleenex. I don't say, give me a facial tissue or give me a tissue. I just say, I need a Kleenex. Because for some reason, I have associated that brand somehow with facial tissue. I don't call it anything else. I go,
like Coke.
Coke, give me a Coke.
Yeah.
What kind of Coke? Like, if you're in the South, they say, what kind of Coke do you want? And you're like, oh, Sprite or Cherry Coke.
Soda.
Or, yeah. And they're like, but here, like, I always say, give me a Coke. And they're like, bring you a Coke. Like, well, hey, I wanted a Mountain Dew. Like, Lisa Coke. They're like, yeah, but you didn't say what brand of Coke. It's just kind of one of those things that I feel like, just know that, right? That, like, movie, like, everything is trying to sell you something. We're trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
We want you to buy into the Christian worldview, biblical worldview that, biblical worldview. We'll go with biblical.
Yeah.
Because
we think it affects eternity.
Yeah, it does.
Right? I mean, I think it affects your eternity. I don't want you to miss out. Right. I mean, Coca-Cola, you miss out on that. You're like, oh, man, my life's ruined. But is it really?
No.
We feel that the gravity of this is so much higher than the gravity of Coke.
Yeah. So my takeaway to you is, like, just know that movies, TV shows, the products that you buy, they're selling you something besides their product.
Yeah.
They're selling you an emotional connection, a lifestyle.
Values.
Worldview.
Hey, you should have these values.
Yeah. Tunnel's trying to give you a value that you need to, like, hey, you have a closed-minded view of family. This is what families are.
Yeah.
They're not just white people.
Yeah.
Mixed couples. They can be, anything. They can be anything you want them to be. But I don't necessarily agree with all their different views of family. There's some I agree with. Yeah, adopted families. Foster parents. All that stuff. I agree with that stuff. And even some blended families because of certain situations or whatever. Like, yeah, that's okay. But then when they start advertising something that goes against my worldview, I'm like, I don't want to buy Tylenol anymore because they're pushing something that I don't necessarily agree with or I'm not going to promote. That was a huge thing with, we have a thing in town called Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, and it's a breast cancer like research thing or whatever. But there was a big uproar because people found out that part of that research was going to Planned Parenthood. And there's a lot of people that don't agree with what Planned Parenthood is doing, especially now that they're selling baby organs.
Yeah.
I don't know who would agree with that ever. Yeah. But so, and this was before all that came out, but people were like, oh yeah, I'm not going to give to your cause because you're supporting something that I don't agree with. And when you're like, yes, I'm for cancer research and I want that to be solved, but you're also giving money to other stuff that I don't agree with. And so, I don't know, but do you, like, will you shop at places that support Planned Parenthood or support other things? Because I know there's, like, certain products that I'm like, oh.
You know, that's tough.
That's hard.
Because it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't ever think about it, and I still enjoy this product, and how much is it really attached to it? And I guess there isn't. Now, maybe if somebody brought out an advertisement showing how big the connection was between this company that supports Planned Parenthood, and then I'd be like, okay, I can't buy your product anymore.
Yeah, because you're going,
I mean, but how many products do I buy that were, and this is made by kids in third world countries.
Yeah.
I don't think about that, but I mean, that shirt you have on, Chris, that was made by some kid, probably.
Maybe.
Did you feel bad? You should now.
I know, well, that's a good point. Okay, we'll revisit this topic again because this is a great topic.
It is. It's big.
We're way over time. So, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in. Did you have a closing thought about the advertising stuff? Was that it?
Just remember they're trying to sell you something and they're trying to push your views a certain way. And ultimately, they're going to try to win you over no matter what. So they'll be like, hey, you're the hero, all this stuff. Look at you. We're going to put so much attention on you and raise you up because we want you to like us. And so then you'll start taking on what we think you ought to take on. And so, just look at your products. Look at what you consume. And I think it goes beyond product placement. So beyond products. You should be looking at your entire world through the worldview of Christ.
I agree.
Lens, yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Podcast Views Finder, episode 23. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And we will see you next time. Magic. Podcast Views Finder.